Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
It's actually with great pleasure that I get to invite this guy up to speak. I've never heard him speak before, preach before the 8 a.m. service. And by the way, it's a really good message, so I'm really glad. I'm glad, Brett. I'm glad. But we have been on a journey of miracle after miracle after miracle as a church. And you know, this legacy season has been incredible, you know, towards $1 million to do the things that God's called us to in this city, and we're on our way. But what you may or may not know, about 3 years ago, on this journey of just raising funds for a future home, which is just, you know, been something that was laid on our heart from the moment we got here, we were in a meeting with our committee of management, sort of our board, I suppose you could say, at our church, and it had come to our attention that over a few years, we'd actually raised around $700,000. And it was sitting in an account put aside for the building because we want to be faithful with what we say we're going to do. Our yes is our yes and our no is our no. And we didn't want any of that money to be spent on anything else because you've trusted us with it. And we were talking to our com. We're like, what do we do with this $700,000? Like, can we get better interest on it? Or how can we make this work better so that we can steward this well? Because we believe that God's principles of stewardship are really important. And in that conversation was this idea that came forward that we as a church are part of a group of churches, about 130 in Australia, and we're all one entity. It's almost like one church, many locations. And because of that structure, it was brought to our attention that instead of actually making money off of what we're saving, maybe we could help another church by offsetting their debt, that we could actually put our savings into an account that offsets someone else in the kingdom that's needing financial support. And we just love that idea that instead of us thinking about ourselves, we could actually help someone we don't know. And so we put it to the comm, and we found out through INC, our movement, who has its conference this week, we said, hey, can you send us a list of churches that have debt that need help? And we had a list, and we were sitting actually in our house praying about it, talking, and we looked through the list. And two churches stood out, Locke Jones's church down at Tweed, and we supported them. But then also another church has stood off the page. It was honestly like, what is Life Impact Church Mackay? Like, what is that church? Do they know? Not really, don't know them. We should help that church. And so we called them and said, we're going to, you know, split this money up, about $360,000. We're going to offset your debt for as long as it takes until we find a building. We just want to sow seed into your church and bless you guys. We're not going to take anything from interest, and we're going to bless you guys. And we'd never met. A few months later, I was in Mackay working with my business, and I called him. I said, Brett, you around? I'm out in front of your church. He goes, yeah, I can be there. And I met him, and it was so exciting. He invited me back to a prayer meeting that night. I met a bunch of your church. And just the excitement in the room because of what had happened to them through this blessing that you guys were part of. You were part of this church. It's the most generous church I've ever met. And so it's been an amazing journey. Anyway, Brett was saying, I'm coming to INC conference. I'd love to share our side of the story, like what happened on our side of the story and what God's been doing in our church, but also just some of the stuff that God's been teaching him about just doing things God's way. And so it is, I feel like we've been friends for years now, and it's, I feel like you're part of our home. So Taya and Brett, welcome. Brett, come up to the stage. Just give him a massive round of applause as he comes and shares this morning. Thanks.
Well, it's a privilege to be here with you this morning. And yes, thank you so much for your generosity. You guys have no idea. You see, that's the cool thing with generosity, right? You think it's just this, but the recipient recognizes it as generosity because you didn't have to, but you did. So I just want to honor you as a local church, honor your pastors that you didn't have to, but you did. And you see, you don't know who's praying for God to move because they need him to, and that God might speak to someone like you to move on his behalf. Who wants to live like that? That is in a position that someone can be praying for something and you can be the one that shows up to meet the need. Yeah? Well, I want to share with you a couple of thoughts around a principle called the storehouse principle and some testimonies about our side of your generosity. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. One of your financial principles as written through Scripture. If we have eyes and hearts open, Lord God, we will see the generosity. Generosity, Lord God, is phenomenal. Generosity moves. Generosity opens heaven. Generosity provides for heaven's touches in places only imagined. So today, Lord God, would you deliver to us your word? Lord God, would you speak by testimony and authority? Lord God, that there might be a shift and a change, that peace and gladness might fall and come upon our economies, so that we are so receptive to the generous call of your Spirit to move on someone else's behalf. I pray, Lord God, that you would move. Lord, this morning that everything you intend to take place would take place. Lord, I thank you that you had a plan and you saw every heart that's coming this morning, and you had a word prepared and you had things declared that you wanted hearts to receive. So today, Lord God, I pray that every heart that receives, Lord God, would respond in the only way possible, and that is to be a hearer and a doer. So, Father, we thank you this morning that there's great doing coming from this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 4.5 years ago, I had a revelation that to pay no principal off our mortgage would mean the mortgage would be there forever. Now, some of you might be, you know, looking at me and going, well, hello. Well, you see, there's things that can happen in our economic status and place that just cause us to think dumb things, right? And to move in dumb ways and to have dumb expectations that if you don't do this, you don't take responsibility for that, nothing will change. So I was seeking the Lord, and I felt the Lord give us an idea. It was called 55-3. And if you stretch that out, it's to believe for 50 people, to believe God for $5,000 for 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years. So 55-3. So that would be 50 people to believe God for $15,000 over a three-year period to sow our principle down. And that was the simple principle that we went out in faith with. So we started to teach our congregation and just preach around what it would be like to leave a legacy. What I love about you guys is you had Legacy Sunday last Sunday. We have Legacy Month every August. We've been doing that for ages. We call it Leave a Legacy. Did you know that we even use the same font that you use on your hello cards on our hello cards? It's the same font. We don't even know you guys prior to... How good's God, right? Just to bring connections. So we had this idea, this plan 55-3, and it required us to trust the Lord. Whenever God speaks to you, it requires you to trust Him. Right? It requires you to. You see, faith has this amazing thing. It demands that you expect something you haven't seen yet. Right? So faith has this demand on it, and it gets a hold of you, and you are just like, oh my goodness, but I've got to do this by faith, God. There's no evidence. And it's like, yes, the evidence is written here and everything that I've done. You see, that's the problem with faith. But the problem with faith, if it's undergirded by trust, that's where power works. That's where you have access. So you trust God. So you have faith and trust working together, and it's this beautiful thing. So we had to trust God how this was going to work. So we are about 18 months into our journey, three-year journey, to believe that God would supply $750,000 for the mortgage that we had on our church building. 2.5 years ago, we owed $793,000 on our church mortgage. At that point, we had a church of about 40 people. Now we have about 60 to 70. And we were paying $60,000 interest a year. So we just could not. Principal was just in the distance. Right? It was just, God, we're just surviving. But at this point, God said, take responsibility for what you said you would. Be a man of your word. When we started, we looked at each other and we looked at the mortgage. So we've been pastoring now. This August, it'll be 9 years. And we decided that we had a plan, we had a vision, that the next pastors would not be met with an $800,000 debt. The next pastors that come in, they're going to be met with a debt-free building. And who knows that what we walked in with an $800,000 debt and what the next pastors will walk in with no debt, they get to think different to what we've been thinking. Amen? Come on, you know it. You know in your economic situation, if things were different, if things were more productive or things were more prosperous in your mindset, you would think different. So I want to teach you a principle this morning called the storehouse principle. That's based, this whole testimony around our church connections is sitting upon. Would you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8? I should start with my conclusion, but I don't think I should right now. I did that in the early service, but we're going to go to Deuteronomy 8. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8. I want to read you a scripture, and it's got a really cool verse here, this verse, and it's got this really cool word, and I wanted to introduce it to you if you hadn't heard of it before, that there's a principle called the storehouse. So here it is in verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord your God. So the Lord is the big boss. He's the pre-existing one, right? So when Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, big boss? Not me, little boss, but you, big boss. I've met you, the big boss of the universe." So God is speaking to the Israelites here, and he's saying, if you have a storehouse, the big boss of the universe is going to bless you. So if they didn't have a storehouse, where could the storehouse blessing land? Right, so as I read this a number of years ago, I felt the Lord just drop into my spirit, if you don't have one, how can I bless you in it? So my encouragement to you this morning is, in your economy, so what's your economy? Your economy is everything you receive, income, payment, inheritance, whatever it might be, your labor, whatever you receive in, and how you think about it, and then how it gets out the door, how you spend it. That's your economy, just real simple terms, right? So money in, how you manage it, and money out. So the storehouse principle has this unique part to it, that it's always sitting in the midst of your economy. So as we read this verse, I want you to think about the Lord giving a command to the children of Israel and about where they were going to put what they had and where that thing they put it in was. Let me read it again. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The storehouse was right in the midst of their economy, so they could put something in their storehouse that they already had. So all of us are already receiving some kind of income. So my encouragement to you this morning is to open an account, call it my storehouse, and put something in it. At your discretion, the amount and the timing. Taylor and I have three economies that we manage. We have our personal economy, we have a business, so we have our business economy, and we have our church economy. So we are responsible for three economies. We have a storehouse in each of those three economies, that every week we transfer something into to heap up for an opportunity that we haven't run into yet. Look, so here the back end of the verse is that he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You see, there's opportunities in a land you haven't gotten to yet. And in that land, the opportunities will meet the preparation of your heart so that you can meet the need. So if you set aside in a store something, there's an opportunity you might bump into that you haven't met yet, that there's a preparation that's already happened. King David did it like this. He said, "Oh, the temple? Oh, God, that's amazing. You've just told me how amazing the temple's going to look. I think I should build it. Oh, it's not me that's going to build it. It's my son that's going to build it. Either way, that temple's going to be amazing. Oh, you want gold? Oh, you want silver? Oh, you want bronze? Oh, okay, I've got to gather it and I've got to store it so that God, when the time comes for my son to build it, he can open up the store that is being prepared and dedicated to the Lord so that out of that store can come the provision for what God had decided would happen right now. So I say to you, you're believing for a hundred. You're believing for a million. 10 lots of 100,000. Hallelujah. Yeah, who can say amen? It's important that the congregation of the pastor who has the vision says amen, not just the pastor, amen. Listen to me. Who believes that if God delivered a million, hallelujah, if God delivered $1 million into your fit-out fund, how much would he have left? Come on, so if God pulled $1 million from a storehouse that he had set up, dedicated for a time that you didn't know was coming, but he did, and he called on that storehouse to open, and he delivered it into the storehouse of the treasury of the church to get the fit out done, how much money would God have left? So can I just lift your thinking for a minute? The $1 million is not your business. It's God's. Our business is to give God something to part with. This word command here is a powerful word. So remember, the storehouse is in the midst of this Israelite family's home. So the thing I love about the storehouse is God hones down from all of heaven. He owns everything. He brings it down past the Israelites. He brings it down past the 12 tribes. and he brings it right into the heart of the house, right into the home, the Israelite who's got a farm doing something, and the Lord says, I'm going to bless you in the storehouses you have. And you're going to move into a land blessed in that land. The beautiful thing with the storehouse account, if you open one, is that you open yourself up to the Lord's adoration of you in your personal state. So it goes beyond just the $1 million you need to fit out a building. It's all about your business. It's all about you being prosperous. What's prosperity in terms of the kingdom as I preach it this morning? It's that you would operate according to how he intended you to. So if you have an economy, your economy, what comes in, how you think about it, and what goes out, for it to be prosperous is for it to be happening exactly as God intended it to happen in your space, in your realm, in your world, with your abilities, with your limitations. Because you see, when you open a storehouse and you put a dollar in it, that dollar value is no longer a dollar value. It can be anything in the hands of Almighty God. Anything. This word command is a powerful word. It means literally to open a constitution, to declare that God will partner with your part, his part. So, Israelites, the Lord will command a blessing on you. There will be a command in your storehouses where the Lord will set a constitution up where by law, there's something by faith, there's something by trust, and then there's another thing by law. You see, faith and trust links us to the law. The law of God where he said, if you have it, I will bless it. Now I operate with my faith where there's this demand and hallelujah, and then I trust him, and suddenly there's this constitution that undergirds the whole thing. You have economies that God wants to command by constitution, by law, a multiplication, a blessing, where suddenly your economy is not marked with claw marks and stretch marks, but it's marked with increase marks. Where, you see, the storehouse declares over your economy, your whole economic state, is God can increase it all. That's what it says. Your tithe says God owns it all. But your storehouse says there's a place I'm putting my part that you can add your part to, and oh my goodness, God, I can only imagine. I prophesy over you, your $1 million. I can only imagine. That's the starting point. That's the starting point. So this word command is so amazing. It's to form a part with your part, to enjoin together and to appoint the blessings on everything according to the ordination of a divine act. So you think you need $1 million to fit out a building you've just purchased. Well, God has ordained a law according to his divine power, his divine ability, where through the storehouse principle and us living by faith and us conducting our economies as good stewards, that suddenly what he has set by law can move into a frame of thinking, into an experience that you have right here, right now. Who wants to just exist for the next 20 years? Your children are not going to say amen to you if you just... No, the word says children's children's children. God is interested in your children's children's children, and that there's an inheritance there, that there's something that you've sown towards that they can reap from your life. So you have to think like a sower, because you have to think beyond your generation and think next generation. So God is trying to get at the heart of the Israelites to say, in the middle of your economy, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to take you somewhere you haven't gotten yet. Well, we were believing that God would take us out of the bondage of just under $800,000 debt in 3 years. Today, 3.5 years past our final offering, which was in December. So we did 3 years December offerings where we spoke about 55.3. So we gave our congregation a whole year to prepare themselves to put aside $5,000. We taught on this principle, the storehouse principle. So I'm trying to cram 3 years of teaching into 20 minutes, hallelujah. So forgive me for cramming. So there's an opportunity if you're prepared to be generous. If I come to you today and I say, hey, you've got 50, I really need 50 bucks. I need 50 bucks. There's this need that's just arisen. You open up your wallet, you had no time for preparation, and there's only 40 bucks in there. You might give out of your it might be sacrificial to you. You might give that 40 to me, and I say, thank you very much, but it's not 50. But if you had a month, I said, I'm coming to you in a month. Would you pray? Would you add some faith? Would you look and seek God? And would you just operate in a whole different place? Would you prepare to give me 50 bucks? You see, in that moment, I might not just get 50 from you, but I might get 50 plus generosity just because of preparation. just because preparation, because preparation prepares for generosity, and generosity has you prepared for an opportunity you might not have bumped into yet. So if you'll put something aside each week, each month, by your description, into a storehouse. Now, it's an account that you're going to call my storehouse account. So let's get really practical. What do I do with this storehouse principle? Open an account, call it your storehouse account. And then go to God and ask Him or tell Him, I'm going to put this much in there every week or every month. And you just heap it up. You just heap it up. Turn with me to Jeremiah. I've got a scripture in Jeremiah. Some of you are looking like, is God into storehouses? Let's go to Jeremiah and let's have a look at how God is into the storehouse. Jeremiah, what is it? Jeremiah 10, verse 12 to 13. I love this scripture. No, I don't want Jeremiah, actually. Sorry, I did tell you, Jeremiah. I actually want Job. Can you send me to Job? You're going to Job and I'm going to Job. And it's Job 38, 22 and 23. You can write down that other scripture. It's just as it's powerful as well, but this is the one I want to read. Have you entered the treasury of snow? That word treasury is a storehouse. Or have you seen the treasury of hail? Have you seen, okay, people sitting in the room thinking about the $1 million that you need for your church fit out. Have you seen the storehouses that God has set aside anywhere in the world open to His discretion to move and open at any time to say, come from there? Have you seen them all? Do you know who's got what and what's got who? Do you know everything? No, you can't, right? So here's God saying to Job, have you seen what I've got in store for the time that I need it? Let's keep reading. Verse 23, which I have reserved for the time of trouble. We're not going to get into eschatology, but there's a treasury, there's a storehouse that God has hail. Who's ever seen hail? Well, you've seen the hail and you've seen the snow, but it hasn't come from this treasury. Because this treasury is stored up for a time of trouble, the time that it's God has it in store for right when He needs it. So your $1 million... to fit out your church, which is going to be a beacon to this community, that by faith you're believing God to expand into, your ability to comprehend $1 million is none of your business. It isn't any of your business. God is saying to Job, it's none of your business. Have you seen? No, it's none of your business. Would you just? So God says to Israel, I'm going to take you into a land where there's land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's a land I'm going to give you, and I want to bless you in your storehouse. Would you take a blessed storehouse there? So we're 18 months into our journey. We've taken up $50,000. So we now owe $743,000 on our church mortgage, somewhere in the middle of 2024. And I get a phone call from Pastor Az. And everything that you just heard him say that his committee of management said and everything that he said was a very correct testimony of the conversation we had. That I want to open an account and there's going to be $360,000 sitting in there. You know, I fell to my knees and I said, look, God, I didn't see that. I didn't see that storehouse. I had no idea there was a storehouse there that you were going to call to come forth from to bless us. In the next 9 months, it got up to $475,000, offsetting our $743,000, which meant for the first time in our pastor's history, for the first time since we've been pastors, that we were able to put down money from the church account off the principal. You see, the previous year, $50,000 had come from seed from the people. But our church economy was sitting in this space where we could only afford the interest. Suddenly, the offset account means that there's interest we're saving. And guess what a good comm team does and good pastors do that are stewards of what they say and they promise, who are asking God for something to pay down the principal. Guess what the good pastors who are stewards of good financial principles are? They don't let that interest saving get consumed in their cash flow. They understand what it's come in for. And so we transferred every cent we saved on interest off the principal. Suddenly, we're down to $700,000. The church sowed $47,000 while you guys had your offset account set against our mortgage that our church had no capacity to sow prior to you setting up your offset. You guys said it's there for as long as you need it. Sorry, it's there for as long as we don't need it, was actually the conversation. And so there was an inevitable conversation, because the moment you transferred that money and set up an offset account, I said to Pastor Az, I said, everything we're believing for, we're praying that God multiplies back to you. So we started with our prayer meetings. We started with everything that we're doing, encouraging our people. Beacon Church needs the multiplication of everything we need back to them. They need to know that this offset, this storehouse, God, there's storehouses that their open storehouse is opening. God, there's storehouses that are open over their life. Because you see, God's a God of storehouses. He has hail, he has snow, he has everything that he needs for the time that he needs it. You're in a time that God needs you to expand out of this building into Enterprise Street. Really cool name for Enterprise Street. I don't miss any of that. Like that detail is so cool, right? So you're at the time that there's a shift required, because here the season has passed. There the season begins, and embedded in your economy, listen to me. Embedded in your economy, what comes in, how you think about it, and what goes out is God's plans for the next generation. It is. Within your economy, God embeds money to keep the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the gospel of the kingdom pure by establishing churches and leaders throughout the church age. That there's finances for the poor and the needs of everybody else embedded in where? Not the church economy, in each individual's economy. You see, the church economy is a beneficiary of the individual's economy. Now, I believe that if we live as a benefactor rather than a beneficiary, we can operate our economies like we've never operated them before. How do you think in your economy? Are you thinking what I need, or are you thinking what someone else needs? Because if you're thinking what I need rather than what somebody else needs, you're thinking like a beneficiary. When dad dies, when I get that inheritance, that's mine. Where dad's not thinking like that. Dad's thinking, when I pass, I'm handing over to my son. See, he's the benefactor. I become the beneficiary. My dad's still alive, praise God. But that's how my dad thinks. Is that how you think of your economy? I believe that if you establish a storehouse, you open an account that you put money in, you set aside a dedicated amount that you believe God or you've told God about. It's simple. We don't have to get overly spiritual about it. So if you decide to put $100 in an account, and it's your storehouse account. The first thing that I want you to understand about the storehouse account, as the Lord said in Deuteronomy 28, the storehouse is in your business. The storehouse is on your land. It's in your home. The storehouse stays in your economy. So the blessing that God commands is the blessing of Abraham. If you go back to Genesis 12, you can study it out. This blessing is not a blessing, but it's the blessing that God placed on Abraham. Who wants the blessing of Abraham sitting right in the middle of your economic situations? Right there, right? Right there. Make his name great and be known. Make God's name great and bless you. So it is right there in the middle of your economy. So our three economies have three storehouses, one in each economy that is right smack bang in the middle. One has $20,000 in it, our business storehouse. Now, that business storehouse that has $20,000 in it, at any moment, God can come to us and say, hey, I need 10 for this. Oh, God, I've stored it. I've prepared. That's dedicated. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Away it goes. No stress. No carry on, because we've been prepared, and we've done that many times. Or we might have an unexpected thing happen in our business, and I get to go to God. We get to go to God and say, hey, God, we've got something in store. God, can we use it for this? We weren't expecting it. Our budget didn't allow for it. So it takes good stewardship. But it's in your economy. I want you to understand this. As we've been teaching this to our church for the last 8 years, something that our congregation has missed, and maybe I've not communicated it very clearly, so I want to be very clear with you. If you open a storehouse and you name it my storehouse, that's the first thing, and then put something in it. Simple. Like, it's really, put a dollar in it. Put $10 in it. And just set aside some dedicated amount, and you don't know the opportunity that you're going to meet up with that's been put aside for. And it could be for a need that someone else has, or it could be a need that you don't know you have yet. That's the beauty of the storehouse principle. It stays in your economy, and God can choose how he uses it. Right, so you open one up, and it's always in your economy. Turn with me to Matthew 14, hallelujah. I want to just stretch out. So the day we said, sorry, I've skipped part of the testimony. You're going to Matthew 14. The day we announced, when the inevitable book call came, as we've been praying that God would multiply you guys into your local church, like, thank you, Lord, they're going in multiplication. God, we're seeing, like, we're watching our offset account that's your money sitting against our mortgage, go from $360,000 to $380,000 to $410,000 to $417,000. Yeah, and it's like, and God, it's going up. And we know that we're one of two. So that means, God, they're nearly at $1 million. And I heard the vision in the heart that a deposit of $1 million is when we can move. Hallelujah. So I'm like, God, you are moving very quickly, which means, God, you're moving very quickly. If you observe that God's moving very quickly, then it might be that he's moving quickly. So I'm like, oh, God, this is so cool. This is really... And Az rings and says, I've got good news and bad news. I said, I know they're the same news. You need it. You're taking it. We're left without it. Yeah? But no, we weren't left without $470,000 in our offset account. The day we announced it, which was 3 or 4 days after we had the call to our church congregation, there was a couple there that they're not members of our church. They came to visit. Friends of ours from many years ago, we went to church together down in Beanlea. Hadn't seen them for many years. They were visiting. They heard me share on the storehouse principle and share what had happened. Well, for 2 years, they've been praying over what to do with $500,000 that they've got sitting in a storehouse. That was earning them some interest. But they weren't happy with earning interest themselves. They really wanted to bless the church. And so within 2 weeks of us saying $475,000 has gone out, $500,000 was back in. We didn't get far on the full interest of 600 or so thousand that we had owed at that point. So 2.5 years after taking our first offering up, we owe in the vicinity of around $465,000 on our mortgage, down from $793,000. 3 years ago, we could only just afford the interest. No principal down. Can I encourage you, the mission of the church... It's not some great idea that some people who are called pastors or teachers or prophets, apostles or evangelists come up with. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that right to the end of the age, the gospel of the kingdom is going to go to the end of the earth. So if you have a vision to take the gospel to the end of the earth, starting with the Redland Bay, then Jesus Christ is the head of it. And we've just been singing, let's speak his name over it. So that's not just a random song for this morning for us to feel good about. This is a specific song that the Lord has engaged your lips with to begin to speak the name of Jesus over our economies. So that he can stretch it out and meet it. You're in Matthew 14, and I'm really going to get there. So I'm not going to read it. I'm going to catch up with you. You know the story. There's some things happening. There's 5,000 men and a whole bunch of women and children that are on the side of a hill one day that Jesus has just moved miraculously in, healing them. They've been following him, and suddenly it's late. And the disciples have made notice of the hour, and they've recognized that people have been following for long enough that they're going to be hungry. And so they want to send them away. But Jesus goes and says, bring me what you've got. You see, the command on the storehouse is that you would put something that you partner with him in. You just bring your part, whatever that part is. Just bring your part, put it in a storehouse. Because God has storehouses of hail and snow. He's done his part and he's going to use it and call it to come from that storehouse right when he needs it. So I believe when we operate in our storehouses, we position ourselves to hear come from. So let's carry on. There's a need here, and Jesus says in verse 18, bring the loaves and the fishes to me. Would you just bring it to me? If you open a storehouse and you put something in it, you're bringing it to Jesus. And he says, would you just bring it here? Then he commanded, guess what? This word command, really cool word. It means, well, you sit down, I'm about to partner with the part that you've brought, and I'm going to bring heaven into the equation. He commanded them to sit down. He knew exactly how to position them to receive the blessing. Guess how he sat them? He sat them in groups of 50. So I read this about 6 months ago, just after we finished our 55-3 thing, and I read it, and I felt the Lord say, show me, you did exactly what the word says. You commanded them to sit to position themselves in groups of 50. 55-3, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I did. I didn't even know. But thank you, Lord. You're amazing. Right, so he can position us exactly where he wants us so that heaven can open and touch us. So the loaves and the fishes come in and he picks them up and he blesses them. And what he says to them is something so powerful. He brings original intention on those 5 loaves and those 2 fish. I believe every cent that I put in my storehouse across my 3 economies brings original intent to every cent. And if you have heaven's original intent on every cent, because remember, if you put 1 cent in a storehouse, it's smack bang in the middle of your economy. And it's decreeing and declaring to every cent of yours, God can increase you. God can multiply you, just like you tithe. When you tithe, you bring your tithe to the storehouse. You bring it to God, and you give it. Because you tithe, you declared over everything else that you own in your economy. God owns it all. He doesn't just own that much. He doesn't just own the tenth. He owns everything. So there's this decree and this declaration that goes out over your economy that it is God's. So when you have a storehouse, the same decree goes over your economy that says, I can stretch it all. Stop thinking $1 million is unreachable. Bring what you've got and watch him open heaven and touch it. Bring it before heaven's gaze. So when Jesus blessed the loaves and the fishes, those two fishes and those five loaves were never intended to be five mouthfuls. I tried to do the maths as I was preaching in the first service. So I have at least, how many mouthfuls would you have in a meal, mate? Ah, easy 30. So if you think two little fish and five loaves, let's say 15 mouthfuls for one person. So that little boy's meal was covered in there. Jesus said, now heaven's looking on it because you brought your part. There's not just 7,000 mouths being filled. There's what? 2.20 something, 30. Who can do the maths? 30 times 7,000. Hallelujah. The mouthfuls that happen, right? So when you sow seed, when you bring them, this is what I believe the storehouse principle holds in it, that what you put in it, when God commands it to open, it's not just what you put in it that's there. That's the testimony of what you guys did when you opened your storehouse. There was $475,000 that eventually ended up in an offset account, a finite amount with no limits on it, right? So you have a finite amount in your storehouse, but there's no limits on it. When you go to work and you work your 38 hours, you have a limit on the hours that you can work that you're not exhausted out of. You have a limit on the pay you're promised, but the storehouse principle declares over your whole economy, though it looks like this, it can look like, oh, can you imagine? So now we owe about $465,000 on our mortgage, and we have just under... We've got some figures floating around, some things that are happening, transfers that need to happen. It's really cool. It's really cool to be in a place that's like, oh my God, there's this happening over there, and that's coming. So we have about, we're going to end up with about $150,000 more in offset accounts than what we owe. So the $47,000 of interest we're saving is now skyrocketed. So now our local church is able to dump. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. The disciples had a moment this day where they couldn't imagine that their loaves and their fishes could be something so magnificent and so huge that they could meet that need. And what's really cool, you may never have connected the dots, but you know the 12 baskets? 12 baskets were an Israelite man's storehouse. They were a place that he could heap up something. So on his journey, he could carry something for his own known need, a need he might bump into, that he could reach into his basket and pull out for someone else. This is really cool. When they bought their part, they went away with baskets full. And what's really cool is it's actually testified that the part they bought wasn't even theirs. It came from a little lad. A little lad. I don't know why I said that in that. Who's English here? It came from a lad. It came from a lad. Did you know that there would have been a bunch of lads in that community that day? Because there's 5,000 men plus women and children. Can you tell me that there was only one lad who thought that he was going to leave home and might get hungry and therefore he might take something to eat when he was hungry? When I leave home, I take an esky with me. Taya's often going, hey, honey, we're just going down to the shop. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just getting my bottle of water. I'm just making sure that it's cold and get some ice in it. And I'm grabbing a banana. Because you never know, that 1 hour out could turn into six. And I might be hungry. So you can't tell me on that hill that day, there was only one store that Jesus could call come from and add his part to what was offered. the storehouse principle. I remember I was on the side of a hill, a testimony of how God can open stores, and then I want the worship team to come and I'd love to pray for some people. There was a few years ago that we were, as a church, we were feeding farmers. There was a drought happening. It was around 2012 to 2015, and we were sending hay out to farmers at Charters Towers. And we'd been going about 2 years or so, and it had turned into this thing that I didn't expect it to turn into. But I felt the Lord say to me one day, "Will you feed a farmer?" I was listening to a farmer on the radio, and she had some bread in her freezer that would last 2 more weeks, and then 5 generations of farming would end. They would have to leave their property. They'd have to shoot their cattle and leave. And I felt the Lord say to me, "Would you feed a farmer?" And my immediate response was, "Well, I'm a father's son. Farmers need eating." And I, "Yes, God, I will feed a farmer." So we raised $6,000 in very little time to make sure that that farmer's family had some money for groceries for the next 12 months. So we just transferred money into their account for the next 12 months so that they could eat. And as word got out that we were doing this, someone had this great idea and said, "Well, if they're eating, what about their cows?" And so, and I hadn't thought about the cows. And then I felt God say, "Would you feed their cows?" So I said, "Yes, Lord, we'll feed their cows." A couple of years later, we've sent 37 semi-trailer loads of hay down into Charters Towers to take care of that. So that's about $250,000 worth of hay and transport that we can prove we had about $25,000, including the six, go through our accounts. You see, when you operate the storehouse principle, there's this really cool thing called leverage that comes into play. Now, if you think about leverage, how's that kingdom orientated or scriptural orientated? Why don't you have a look at a seed next? Go and buy. Go to groceries, or not to groceries. Go somewhere that you can buy a seed, and just observe that seed. And if you look at that seed, if you look long enough, you'll see that God puts something in each seed to leverage multiplication out of. One seed, multiplication. So we're about 2.5 years in descending hay, and we're wrapping it up. Rain's been falling. Oh, I don't have time to tell you that testimony. I need to tell you that one. So we've decided we're going to help this family. And so my first thought of helping, I'm going to speak really quickly because I'm really going to need to get through this. How am I going for time? A preacher that asks how I'm going for time and he's all right. That's a troubling response. So we haven't sent anything yet. We've just talked about it. And we have a life group. And so we've told our church we're leading a life group at that point. We're not pastors. And Taya's mum and dad were the pastors. And when I asked Pastor Ken, he's like, "What are we doing?" And I said, "Don't worry about it. God's got it covered." So we're praying. We're actually praying for this family that God would send rain. Now, a cane farmer, when he wants rain in a drought, he's not thinking 10 mil, right? He's thinking at least 4 inches. So I'm thinking at least 100 mil's got to come down now to make a difference. 10 mil's going to go nowhere, right? So we're praying in our life group at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon that God's going to send rain to this farm in Mingala, just out of Charters Towers. And 45 minutes after we prayed, the lady that we're going to start working with rang, because I'd organized to send some hay the next day out to help keep their cattle alive. And she rang and she said, "You're not going to get the cow, you're not going to get the semi-trailer in because the creek's up, the creek's flooded. You won't believe it. We've just had this storm that's come out of nowhere and we've had 10 inches. So she said, "Now there's devastation everywhere. The creeks are up, the fences are down." And I went, I said, "Can you help me, right? Because we just prayed that God would send you rain." And I was thinking at least 100 mil, and you got 10 times that. And she said, "No, 10 mil. 10 mil is all we want. And then we want 2 days of sunshine. Then we want another 10 mil. 2 days of sunshine, then another 10 mil, and that'll change everything." And I'm like, man, that wasn't even close to what I was believing for. Anyway, so 2.5 years later, they're back on their feet, and we're sending our last shipment of hay. I had to cut it on a hill, so I had to send a baler in. We got donated 30 acres of grass, Rhodes grass. Had to send a guy in to cut it. Now, normally we would leverage it. So every other bale we sent, if he cut 600 bales, he'd charge me $25 a bale. I'd take 300 and give him 300. So he'd sell the 300 for $50 a bale, which would leverage the $25 that we needed to buy the 300 bales we were going to send. So we did this for 2.5 years, never cost us a cent. Praise God. Storehouse principle. What he had in store, he could just open them. This particular deal, he says to me, "My barns are full." I kid you not. He said, "My barns are full. My storehouses are full. I can't hold any more of your hay because they're overflowing and the drought's turning and people are not buying as much, but I just can't store anymore. You have to pay for every bale." And I'd already said yes to cutting them, but I didn't have any money. I rock up. There was supposed to be 300 bales. There was 660. And I looked at the hill and there's bales everywhere as I'm driving down the road. And I'm thinking, God, there's more than 300 bales. I'm believing you for 300 bales. I don't have money for 300 bales, but there's definitely more than that. So I rocked up to him and he looked at me and he says to me, where are the semis? And I said, And he said, you go and do what you do and I'm going to go and do what I do. You see, he had rejected Jesus the whole time I dealt with him for 3 years. I told him, if you deal with me, you're gonna be touched by God. He's going to touch your life. And he said, I don't want to know anything about that. So he was telling me, you go and deal with Jesus, and I'm going to go and deal with my equipment. So I went back to the hill that I saw it on, and I said, Lord Jesus, every one of those bales have got to go. They got to get off that mountain, and they have to go to Charters Towers, they have to go to Billawea, and they have to go to Mount Isa, because Charters Towers couldn't take 600. I knew they couldn't take 600. Within an hour, I needed $80,000 in 1 hour. Within an hour, God opened up a storehouse to pay for the $80,000. So I stopped there and I went, God, what do I do? And the Lord said, ring this person. I felt this person drop into my heart. She was a radio announcer. I thought, oh, I'm going to get on the radio, do a quick interview. Someone will hear about it and they'll offer some money. She said, don't have time to talk to you. Here's a number. Ring this guy. He spoke to me yesterday and I thought of you when he spoke to me. So I rang this guy and he's organizing mates for mates. So he's got $100,000 sitting in a storehouse, but he doesn't have any hay. And he's got a need to send hay to Mount Isa, Billawea and Charters Towers under his own devices. And he's got semi-trailers parked up down the road from where our hay is. I don't have any hay, but I've got hay and I don't have any money. He's got money and he doesn't have any hay and he's got semi-trailers. Every one of those bales was off the hill within 2 days. I'd love to pray for you this morning as we continue to worship. The storehouse principle is something that brings you into a place that you can only imagine. Would you like to live in a place in your economy rather than claw marks and stretch marks? Claw where it can't leave and stretch marks where it's, well, I wanted to, but it's not going to go far enough. If you want to shift that to, oh my, I can only imagine that, God, if you ask for that, I can give it. Or if I need it, God, there's a store just for me. Then this is for you. And I'd love to pray for you as we worship, as we close. I want to thank you as a church for everything that you have done faithfully, for everything that you have done to support the mission and the vision that God's called us to. And I believe there's no separation because we love Jesus. So I believe what the Lord has done in our heart and our life, that we have been beneficiaries of you, the benefactor. The benefactor is always a beneficiary. If you think like a benefactor, you will always receive. You can't not. Would you stand with me this morning and let's worship? And I would just love to pray for you. If you just get the sense that something needs to happen to your economy, what comes in, how you think about it, and what goes out, I'd love to just lay hands on you and operate the principle of the laying on of hands. That by law, when someone lays hands on you by faith, something changes. We had a young man fall ill on a missions trip in PNG just 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I knew him because we'd taught him in the YWAM school that he was at. And he went to PNG for 3 weeks and picked up a blood infection, and his liver and kidneys had failed. And he was ill in PNG. He got back to Australia and was more ill. And so he was medevac to Mackay ICU with no prospect of living. And I knew him, and his family came and they stayed with us for 2.5 weeks. So they've just left with the son, who's completely restored, completely healed, kidney function totally back, liver healed. One day he's in ICU, the next day he's sitting in our lounge room. The miracle working power of God, all based on a simple principle that the prayer of faith heals the sick. So if you hear the simple principle of the storehouse principle, you too can revel and enjoy in peace and gladness over your economy. This young man had his friend. And he was in ICU for 24 hours. So he arrived on a Tuesday morning and I was going to go and see him. And I felt the Lord say, wait for the invitation. So I waited, and then young Nate rang me about 2 hours later and he said, Pastor Brett, would you come and lay hands on as the elder? Would you come and lay hands, the hands of prayer of faith as the elder? I said, look, God, there's my invitation to operate in a principle outside my capacity to know or understand, but just to show up, believe that God can move. Touch that boy and believe that God can heal. I believe that God can touch your economy and you can operate in your economies like you've never operated before. The fruit will be peace and gladness rather than fear and sadness. Would you come? I'd love to pray for you as we actually sing that worship song now. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.